The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Are you a member of the SSLC? And by SSLC, I mean the Short Stubby Lash Club.
I was like, what is that?
Yeah. Like, you look at your eyelashes and you're like, are you even there? Like, are you there?
I'm not.
Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret.
I have perfect lashes.
Blake Larson, who doesn't need perfect lashes, was blessed with them. I, however, would love long lashes, and I was not blessed with them. But that is why, my friends, I fell in love with my new 4D mascara. No joke, guys. I want you to try out my mascara. I love it so much that I have a guarantee that you can try it out for 2 weeks. And if you do not love it as much as I do, I'll get you all your money back.
All the money.
All the monies. Head on over to minutewithmary.com to learn more. From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The North Remembers. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Game of Thrones on HBO. So sit back and relax, because winter's here. Hello, hello, everybody. How's it going? My name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and man, I'm shocked. Shocked.
Are you shook, as the cool kids say?
I'm not shook, but I'm shocked.
By what?
I'm shocked at how much... How divisive this episode of Game of Thrones has been.
Ooh, nice word.
I can't believe, like, from what I can see from our listeners and everybody that's been commenting, yada yada. Obviously, today is the listener feedback episode. I would say that the Game of Thrones world has been split into, like, I don't know. I don't want to say quarters, and I'd say like a little bit more than thirds. Like, what's that? What's a little bit more than a third? I have no idea.
Five eighths?
Sure. Whatever.
Wait, that's more than a half. Hold up.
Yeah.
Hold up.
What?
How about four ninths?
Four ninths. Sure. Whatever. It's been split in that kind of way. Like, and it's funny because it's been split in terms of there are people that love it and won't hear anything about it. There are people that fracking hate it and hate everything about it and want nothing to do with it. And then there are a bunch of people that are like kind of on the fence.
Okay.
And these people are much less than the others.
So I do not understand the four ninths then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's
what's
not
the majority?
It's not like thirds. I would say the people that love it and hate it are tied. And then the rest are people like that.
Whoa.
Are kind of on
okay.
the fence.
All right.
Like, they're still deciding.
Okay.
But, you know...
So how about this?
What?
Six fifteenths.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Whatever.
And then, you know,
sure.
Three fifteenths.
Yeah, sure. Sounds great.
Okay.
Sounds awesome.
Well, you were the one getting all mathematical on me.
That's why I rely on you for the math, because you're the math person. I'm just the history nerd.
It's because my SATs are better.
And listen, while I'm here, and I know this is a listener feedback episode.
Yeah.
I do kind of want to do one thing.
Oh, dear.
Okay. I kind of want to write a better episode for just one moment.
Blake.
I just want to write a better episode for one moment.
It's a sin. Continue.
It is a sin. This is a Mary and Blake commandment that we're not supposed to write the better episode, because that's not our job.
No.
But I think I have a fix that will make everybody happy.
Okay, bring it on down.
And it's not entirely different from what we have seen. So, here's the deal. Jamie, instead of going and fighting Euron, what he should be doing is going to try to ring the bells. That's what he should be trying to do.
Yeah.
He should be trying to ring the bells. And it makes it worse because he doesn't get into the city, right? He doesn't get into the city, and you're like, oh my God, how are they going to ring the bells?
Yes.
How are they going to do it? It adds tension. But eventually he gets there, and he is the one who rings the bells. And he struggles doing it because he only has one hand.
Aww.
And he has to use the metal hand, and he has to figure it out.
Aww, cutie.
And it's that tension, like, oh my God, is it going to happen? They're waiting. Finally, the bells ring. Yes. In the meantime, we think that Euron is dead, but you know what? Maybe he's not. And there's two ways you can do this.
Okay. I'm listening. I'm so excited.
First, you see him on one of the scorpions, and he's trying to kill Drogon. And
yeah.
He realizes, oh, this was bad. This is bad. And he just, like, he takes a moment. He looks up as Drogon's coming down right at him. Mm-hmm. And he sees his whole fleet burning. And he closes his eyes, and you just see him burn. You just see him burn, like, just down. You don't even,
yes.
You just see him get vaporized. He's there, and after the flames, he's not. Like,
okay.
That would be awesome. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, they wanted to do what they did, right? Which was have him live and jump off the boat. You have him live and get on another boat, one that Dany missed, let's just say.
Okay.
And when the bells are ringing, because Jaime is ringing them, Euron gets on a boat. Dany is waiting on the walls. And Euron, after
shoots.
The bells, Euron shoots Drogon. Doesn't kill him, like, gets his tail or something, right?
Yeah.
And because Dany thought, oh my God.
All the ships are done.
All these people, the bells are ringing. I thought there was going to be peace. Then she decides, I've fracking had it. I've had it. I'm done with all of these people. And she burns the whole city down.
Oh.
Right?
I like that.
She burns the whole city down.
Or, like, you see that moment of, like, sweet joy, like, sweetness.
Like, yeah,
she's
like,
Daenerys that we know, like, yay, I did it, and I didn't have to break the wheel, as she promised she would.
Right.
And like, going to...
she could still look at the Red Keep, and she can still get pissed.
Oh, yeah. Like,
and
I'm going to
like,
get Cersei.
I'm gonna go do it. But then she wait, no. Like, because it still plays into the whole thing of her
yes.
being alone, but like, okay, I promised I would ring the bells. I promised I'd stop. Drogon gets hit. She turns around. It's friggin' Euron
on
a
man.
Boat.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
And then he dies.
Yep.
And then she goes and says, I've had it. I'm burning the whole city down.
Love it.
And that's how you solve all this. And then Jaime, once he sees Dany burning all of this down, realizes, my sister's dead.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
So Jaime fulfills his arc by trying to save all of the people, does so, but fails and realizes, I just want to be with my sister. I just want to be with my sister.
You
and
know,
he does.
You might want to throw your name in for the ringers for backup suggestions for Star Wars writing.
You know, sometimes I'm still happy with the episode,
mm-hmm.
but from all the things that I've heard and from all the things that I've read, I think this simple change could make everybody happy.
Agreed.
It would make everything still happens the same. Dany still freaks out. The whole King's Landing gets burned down. Cersei still dies the same way. Jaime still dies the same way. You just change the Euron bit.
The Euron bit stinks.
The Euron bit is what screwed it up. That's the one thing that I think everybody is overlooking. Like, everybody knows that the Euron bit sucked.
Yeah.
And the whole, like, problem with it.
Yeah.
But I think everyone's overlooking how much of an effect that Euron bit could have. Like, Euron is the one who could lead to the king, to the burning of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Which would speak more towards Cersei and her relying on an idiot like Euron to defend the capital.
The amount of time that they spent with that fight, stabbing, you know, you cut off your face and let Cersei kiss it.
Right, right.
Like, all of that, I completely agree. They could have had that change of storyline.
That makes that character worth it. It makes that character have a real purpose.
He would have loved being Crisp Die a Dragon. He would have died with a smile on his face just the same.
Right. Exactly.
Like, but I got it.
I got it. I did it again. And but even though he didn't, even though maybe it just hit its tail or whatever, it would have worked. And then Dany would have, because it would have been another one of her children that have
yes.
died. Or been
or was
injured.
Hurt.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's how you write a better episode for just a minute or
okay.
so. Sound good?
It does sound great.
Are you ready to get into all the listener feedback now?
Oh my goodness, yes, bring it on.
We got a lot today. All right, here we go. All right, we always start with the YouTube comments because, you know, YouTube's where it's at. I love our YouTube listeners. Thank
Agreed.
You very much for listening over there. I know it's a commitment, you know, when you're there. You gotta like stick to it, you know? So it's always good. This one comes from Sketchy Trails.
Love it.
Watching HBO's making of the episode revealing so many scenes are CGI and green screen. Kudos to the actors with the ability to getting into character with no atmosphere.
Agreed.
Standing in a room with nothing but green walls and film and sound people and delivering meaningful performances. Wow. Agreed. The Euron scene was bad, but he is a third tier character and was only 5 minutes. So it doesn't bring the whole episode down for me, but we can see why this season took 2 years to produce. Even full length, high budget films don't have this much battle and action.
Totally
scenes.
Agree. There's no, why did this take so long? Like between
like,
all
it.
Of the battles we've seen so far, agreed.
Yep.
Hector Luga wrote in, I loved this episode. It was visually stunning. And even though the storytelling felt rushed, and demanded my total suspension of disbelief, I was enthralled by the amazing score and fine acting. Thank you for being entertaining and insightful.
You're welcome, Hector. Hey, Mary, I have a question for you. This brings it up. You know, the news story's been going around that the Double D's had an offer from HBO to have a full 10-episode season this
season.
They had an offer. They were going to write the check for it. And they said, no, we're not doing that. We feel like we can tell this episode... We can tell the rest of the season and the rest of the story in 6 episodes.
Wow.
Now, again, I for the most part, always back the Stelly storyteller because it's their story.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to tell it. They know what they're doing. And I think to Lost, when they knew, okay, we have, at the end of season 3, they were like, we have 3 more seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's what we got in us. They knew that that was how their story was going to end. And I backed that decision. Do you back the Double D's decision to end this series in 6 episodes?
I'll let you know after I see the finale.
Good. You know what? Way to hedge your bet, kid.
Hey.
Way to hedge your bet.
You know.
This one comes from AR. She said, they say, really enjoy the podcast, guys. Found you on Outlander and stayed for the North Remembers.
Thanks.
Thank you. Number one, she totally agrees with Mary. This season, I totally walk away from each episode loving them, but in a stunned sensibility of not being able to process what I just saw or why. Number two, which the number one leads me to believe that a point they might be making is that in the world, one man's tyrant is another man's beneficent leader. That the lines of good and evil can be a matter of perspective and orientation in the world. GRRM has spoken often about how he likes gray characters. There are no white knights and there are no black villains. This is what I enjoy about his song. There are so many good and bad lines blurred in his characters. Is Jaime good or bad? The Hound? Jon Snow? Tyrion? Is anyone? What happens when all the choices you made believing they were for good turn out not to be? And number three, my breath was taken away by the shot of the Clegane brothers on the crumbling stairs of the Red Keep with the fiery sky and Drogon overhead. It was stunning. And it was weird. I cried more for the Hound dying than anyone else at this point, except for maybe Ser Barristan.
Mm.
And number four, agree on the Euron finish. It would have been better going out in Dragonflame. And finally, I so wanted Cersei to be denied the comfort of dying in Jaime's arms. I kept hoping, like you said, that he would try to say something, but then collapse and never say it. Until next week, Valar Morghulis.
Oh, you say it a different way than I do.
Valar Morghulis?
Like I do it like very like softly.
Valar Morghulis.
Yeah. On Facebook, Callum McCarthy wrote in saying, I agree with your BS call, Mary. Not enough CGI money for a proper farewell between John and Ghost, yet David and Dan begged for a zombie CGI polar bear in season 7 and got it. Maybe I'm being picky, but I hope John sees Ghost again to heal our broken hearts. I feel for Danny. Depression can feel like no matter what you do, there are no consequences. Everything is numb and underwater. Danny's now got almost nothing to lose and a gigantic dragon, which makes her even more dangerous.
Totally
completely
agree.
Yep. The numb and underwater, and it's just like, whatevs, man.
No, we're just going to do it.
Yep.
And I don't care. You know, like, or I care, but I don't care enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all right. Diane Park says, thanks for the podcast, guys. Always appreciate your thoughtful perspectives.
Oh, thank you.
So I initially gave this episode 4 dragons and then I downgraded it to 3.5. After some reflection, however, and listening to your podcast, I'm back at 4, which thank you very much. She says, Danny, she's still not happy that she torched the city and laid waste to so many innocents, but I agree that the argument can be made that all of the evidence that this was coming is in past episodes. I just wish there had been something more immediate to her burn them all decision that showed us why she went there. For Cersei, I've come around to appreciating the poetic justice of her literally being crushed by all of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For Arya, I thought it was a lovely through line for her character. Mm-hmm. The Hound tells her if she goes through with him to kill Cersei, she will also die. And going back to Cyril Forel and also her encounter with the Night King, what do we say to the God of Death?
Not today.
And Arya walks away from the path of death and vengeance and begins to try to help the living while the Hound moves forward toward vengeance and his own demise. And I thought the way that they tied those characters together and followed their trajectories in opposite directions was brilliant. Intercutting between those two scenes was great storytelling. Bravo. That's what we're talking about. For Jamie, this one I can't forgive. Jamie has been such a troubled and complex character. He was right when he told Brienne that he has done horrible things for Cersei and to be with Cersei. But he is so much more than those acts and all of his toxic love for her. He was right when he said Cersei was hateful, but he is not. When he told Tyrion in this episode that he never much cared for the innocents, I roared with a full-throated bullshit. This is the guy who loved and cared for the younger brother everyone thought was a monster. This is the man who jumped one-handed into a bear pit to rescue Brienne. Mm-hmm. This is the man who broke his vow and sacrificed his honor and endured years of derision as the Kingslayer to save King's Landing from the Mad King, burning the city to the ground. And now he says he never really cared? I'm so, so disappointed. And I think if he had been going to kill Cersei and found her quaking and frightened and then chose to comfort her, I would have been okay with that. That would have been true to his character. Far more than the Cersei is my drug of choice and I'm an addict, I'm hateful, and I don't care plot that played out. It just tossed away his years of character development in the vision of the troubled, misunderstood, but noble knight that Brienne brought out in him and the way that we have come to see him. You know, that, you know, I've struggled with the whole I never really cared for the innocent people thing with Jaime simply because of his actions to murder King Aerys, right?
Yeah.
Like that stands right in the face of it.
Agreed.
I don't know if it was something of like he was saying that just to be like jokey. Like I don't know if he was saying that to just like, you know, he was the Kingslayer and he lived into that moniker.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was just having that kind of attitude in front of Tyrion just to play into it, or if he was being really sincere. Because, you know, if he's being really sincere, then yeah, I agree, that's kind of a violation of everything that he has done so far. But I kind of do believe him in a sense that, like, who the hell are all these people? Like, I don't owe nothing to anybody.
Well, and like, look what they've done. You know, when people have tried to do right things before, I mean, really, like, people frequently have a terrible nature. No matter how much good you can do for them or how much bad you do for them.
Sure.
You know, what.
And this really episode proves it, by the way.
Agreed. Like, he's just saying, you know, all I've known to be true is my love for my family, is my love for my sister.
Right, right. Ashley Richardson says, my three-eyed raven. Oh, hold on. We got to play the three-eyed raven.
You know what I don't like? Is it crows four times? I feel like it should crow three times.
No, I did that on purpose.
Why?
Because I wanted to subvert the expectation. Because everything always happens in threes. Screw that. I wanted four.
Oh my goodness, you're so fancy. You're so fancy.
It's because I'm Batman. That's
you
why.
Are fancy.
All right, so she says, the three-eyed raven is that the four Starks will be left to rule Westeros together as a council.
Ooh.
And Varys sent ravens to all the kingdoms before he died, and they will all be waiting for Jon and Winterfell to pledge their allegiance, including Dorne. How they will take care of the Dany situation is to be determined.
Yeah.
But maybe the wolves will actually come back and take down the dragon.
Please.
Or after Dany dies, Jon can wield Drogon. My only hope is that Dany shows some sort of remorse before she dies. I actually quite like this idea that all these people will be waiting at Winterfell.
That's why Bran's just waiting. He's just waiting for someone to kill all these people.
You know... I,
Bran needs to be useful.
You said it last episode, and you're not wrong. Bran needs to be useful.
That if Brain is not useful in this last episode, I will be disappointed. If he is useful, I will feel very complete.
Right. And you know what? I know. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bring it on down now.
I know we said it last episode, but I kind of want to reiterate this. Okay. And the more and more I hear it, the more and more it kind of makes sense. Mm. Bran really has to go back in time somehow, some way, and affect something. He has to.
Why?
Because he's useless otherwise.
No, but like, how about if he saw this future and he knew that Daenerys would kill Cersei, would kill all the Lannister army, that probably Daenerys is going to die, and all will be well in the world? Meaning the Starks will rule.
Maybe, but...
Like, what has already happened was meant to unfold this way.
That is extremely possible.
Do you think really Brandon Stark cares that Daenerys Targaryen just went crazy?
No, unless something bad happens to Jon, or something
really
bad happens to Arya.
Jon or Arya, he is no longer Brandon Stark. This is some weird dude that we're dealing with. Yeah. Okay,
that's true.
He really is not even Stark. He's just some weird. I'm going now. I've got to go now.
I don't know. The problem is that if he doesn't do anything, he would have been completely useless for this whole time. And not paying off him being a three-eyed raven is irresponsible in some fashion, right? In some fashion, it has to pay off. It has to. You don't show him talking to young Ned Stark without bringing that back.
Agreed.
In some fashion. And maybe they already did that with Hodor and Hold the Door. But I don't know. It still doesn't pay off at the end of the story.
I know.
Like, he's there. I don't know.
That's it. We need to see Bran next week, this week. That's it.
We're going to.
Tammy Lee Bradley. Ooh, that was a lot of talking for me. Sorry, Tammy. Said best Game of Thrones podcast on Stitcher. Shouting out to our Stitcher listeners. Yay, Taylor! Just like that. A winner. She said, anyone that can incorporate funfetti into a Game of Thrones discussion has my vote. Still hoping Jon reunites with Ghost in the North after he rejects the throne. Maybe he'll reunite and they'll make a funfetti cake and they'll eat it because it's white. Together.
Claire McCarthy says, I felt so much better after I listened to your podcast.
Yay.
I loved this episode, and it was good to hear that at least two other people agreed with me.
We're here for you.
For me, this was a 4.8 dragons, and I agree just with about everything pretty much you said. I took off a couple of points because of Euron Greyjoy and Jaime's fight. It was pointless and there was no ramifications. And Jaime appeared to be severely wounded, yet it didn't hamper him in getting to Cersei.
Didn't what?
Hamper. What?
You got to calm down with that accent tonight. People aren't going to understand you.
If Jaime,
hamper
him into getting with Cersei. If Jaime hadn't encountered him, perhaps he would have gotten to Cersei in time to escape and spend the next few years rowing around the narrow sea a la Gendry. Euron should have just died when his ship was attacked by Drogon. I also... deducted for how useless the Golden Company was. They didn't even get up to put up a fight. You know, first, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm not bothered. I mean, I joked about the Golden Company last episode.
Yeah.
I really don't care. I don't care that they got smoked. I don't care that they were there. For me, it was more to show because Rhaegal was killed, we've underestimated how powerful these dragons are. Like, we've forgotten how powerful the dragons
Agreed.
Are. And showing the Golden Company there and just getting obliterated.
See ya.
It reaffirms it. It's part of that tapestry with all of the scorpions and everything. But Claire continues, I can buy the way Cersei died, even though I think it was better than what she deserved. It was poetic that the keep, which she thought could never fall, and which she schemed and plotted for so long to occupy, came crashing down on her. And she was clearly terrified of dying and having no control over the situation. And as a control freak myself, I can understand. And the first time we really see Cersei and Jaime was in the very first episode in the tower Jaime pushed Bran out of, so there is a symmetry in them dying in each other's arms mm-hmm. now. And like Daenerys...
Being crushed by a tower.
Yeah. Oh, hey, girl. And she wanted to be crushed by Jaime's tower.
Blake.
Sorry, I just had to. Oh, man, I had to. Sorry, that was a bad joke. Like Daenerys, Cersei had no other than Qyburn to advise her. And as good as she is at scheming and manipulating, she has no sense at all of combat and how to set up defenses. The Scorpions were deadly but unwieldy and couldn't quickly be repositioned to take down a fast-moving and jinking dragon. They were all aimed out, and no one anticipated Drogon might swoop in from behind and on the side. She had no plan B should the walls be breached or if the Scorpions failed to fell the dragon. And realizing how badly she failed had to be a bit of torture for her. And I loved Arya in this episode. Maisie Williams has the most expressive saucer eyes to show everything the character is feeling. And when the Hound first stops her from going to find Cersei, you could see her determination to kill in her eyes. But when the Hound told her to not be like him and to follow him meant death, she softened and almost looked childlike. And once again, she faced death and said, "Not today." Arya has been humanized over the course of this season. Running through the city had to remind her somewhat of her escape after her father was killed. And seeing the death and destruction from her point of view added to the tension of the episode. In the scene where she reaches out to the white horse was beautiful.
I wish that the Hound had mentioned something to her about her dad, just as a throwback, like, this isn't what your dad would have wanted. Your dad wouldn't want you to die here, too.
Even
though he doesn't know her dad. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of wish that there was a little, like, fist bump for Ned Stark in this episode.
Yeah, yeah. I think we may get that, too. I still think we may get that.
I hope so. Because y'all know he fell in love with this episode because Ned Stark's a really interesting, I was going to say great dad. Sometimes he is. Sometimes he was just kind of a jerk.
There's one thing with Arya that I kind of wish I saw.
What?
Which was her take a face of somebody.
Agreed. And maybe we still can.
I still think we're going to get it. I think we're going to get it with Dany.
That's like such, oh. Maybe she's like, well, then she has to kill someone to take their face.
Right.
Oh, I was just going to say maybe she can borrow Jon's face. Oh, man. Who's she going to kill now?
Maybe. Oh.
What?
Ooh, oh.
Oh, what?
All right, we're talking about purpose here. Mm. And I'm thinking about Tyrion. I'm thinking about Jon. I'm thinking about Davos. I'm thinking about Arya. We're going to have all of these people, right? The only person that has not betrayed Dany is getting some bad friggin' vibes from Dany right now is Davos. What if Davos says we need to kill Dany? Mm-hmm. Arya's there and Arya says, I can do it, but I can't get close to her.
Mm-hmm.
I can do this thing with the face.
Yeah.
But I can't get close to her. How are we gonna get Davos says, I'm gonna sacrifice myself so you can get and she can be Davos and Davos kills Dany.
Why doesn't she take Grey Worm's face? He's gone down the dark side. He shouldn't be here much longer. Why doesn't she? I feel like Grey Worm's the one that hasn't betrayed her.
Well, I feel like Davos would be noble.
Davos totally would.
But I like the idea of Grey Worm.
Me too.
I like that because now he has to pay for what he has done too.
Yeah.
And Arya can make that happen.
Yeah.
She takes Grey Worm's face and she.
Yeah.
I almost did it. I almost sweared. And she kills Dany.
Yeah, I like this ending.
I kind of like that too. I'm kind of in on that. Okay, sorry. I hadn't realized that the flashes of green were from the wildfire Daenerys' father Aerys had planted around the city. I knew it was wildfire, but didn't get that connection. And Daenerys completed the job her father had set out to do of burning them all. Thank you for including clips from the previous seasons in your podcast to make the case that Dany wasn't really so sudden.
Mm-hmm.
She felt so alone with all of her trusted advisors gone and feeling that Tyrion had failed her. One of her best attributes was the ability to listen to her advisors and let them talk her down. And she desperately needed them here.
Kendra Spring-Klasik writes in, still processing. Girl, so are we all, right? She says, the first part of this episode was hot garbage, and I'm not sure the back half saved it. What dialogue there was clunky as hell. The CGI looked largely fake at points, and the high frame rate used in the battle scenes, ironically, made it look cheap, a lesson they should have learned from the Hobbit films. Maybe three dragons? I'm still not sure. However, this nebulous feeling isn't a good sign. Logic has flown the coop at this point. some genuinely weird choices.
I agree that there's some weird choices. One of the things that I heard today in my travels, in reading or listening to podcasts or whatever, sometimes the mob of people, the masses react, right? And generally, if you can get the mass of people to go along with your story, you've told your story well enough where they may not like it, but they can go along.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get the mass to, for people who love Game of Thrones, I mean, people are watching it because they love it, right? If you're split the way that the show is right now, maybe it's telling you that you didn't write it the way that you should have.
Because they have laid it down that Daenerys has the ability to snap. There is no doubt. And
absolutely,
having the conversation between Sam and John, hey, she just burned my whole family, she's kind of crazy. Like, that, once again, lays an even bigger foundation. There is 100% way that they could have continued to have Daenerys go bad. Yes, are a lot of us disappointed? Maybe you named your daughter Daenerys. Who knows? But I agree. I think that they could have done this in a different way. Maybe having 10 episodes. I don't know. Maybe just doing it a little different, but having it be so abrupt to the audience, I think, is a hard thing for people to swallow.
I wonder if getting an extra episode or two in there would make this work better.
Because remember, this is the same girl who was having like a whole new world magic carpet ride equivalent with Jon Snow. What, like two
or three episodes?
Yeah.
Ago. And here's the thing. Here's the real thing I think I don't buy, and the thing that makes this not as devastating as I want it to be, which is the whole thing with Jon Snow and how he told his family. And then how Danny feels about that.
Oh, that's going to be this next episode.
Well, no, I know. But yeah, what I'm saying is, so far, I haven't bought their relationship.
No, the chemistry between Emilia Clarke and Kit Harington is so subpar because...
Yeah, it's not there.
We compare it to his real life wife when Jon Snow was
point.
A Ygritte.
Good
like,
point.
We were like, damn, those girls, those people, like, they look like they actually want to bang. They did. They did.
Right. But even then, all right, even then, the thing with Ygritte, that whole story took place over, what, a season and a half?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit more, maybe two, almost two full seasons. Whereas the relationship with John and Danny, we're supposed to believe that this is, that this is like a big friggin' deal.
But on the flip side, like, the moment they have sex is the moment that we are told on the screen that they're aunt and nephew. Like, I really feel like if you could get the gif of Tyrion's reaction as he sees Jon Snow enter that room, they're like, ugh. That's how we all felt. We've all been kind of grossed out, kind of okay with it some days, but generally grossed out by these two hooking up. Because here, you know, in this modern time, we're not really down with incest. So
homie, don't play that.
Yeah, like, I don't feel like that's a, would I have loved to see, you know, more believable lust and love between these two? Not really, because I'm not really down with it. So I'm okay with that part. I'm okay that that is not necessarily super believable, because mm-hmm. I also think that, like, it reminds me of the movie Speed. You know, in times of chaos and like everything, like, relationships sometimes pop up, but they're not really going to last.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think this was. You're like, oh, honey, you think it's going to be a good thing. But we all know, because we just heard your her nephew.
Right.
But also, like, you're about to go deal with the Night King and Cersei. Like, now's not the time to court somebody.
But I think the show wanted us to invest in the idea that this was going to be a real love. Like, this was
no. The show told us the moment that they banged, they told us that they're related. The show did not want us to believe that this was going to be a real love. In my opinion,
maybe you're right.
Knowing the audience that's watching it, watching it, which is generally not okay with incest, they know that we were all going to be like, oh, that kind of would have been cool if they weren't related. Like, mm-hmm. It would have been really cool if they weren't related. Song of Ice and Fire, this is cool. We all hear they're related and we're like, nah, not a great choice.
Yep.
Like,
nope, good point.
Like, do any of you have a hot cousin where you're like, if you weren't my cousin, you have a hot cousin. You do.
I haven't looked at her like that. No.
No, but she's a hot cousin, okay? She's bodacious. Like, she's like Lara Croft hot, guys. And let me tell you.
Oh, my God.
Like, if she, what? I'm allowed to say this kind of stuff. God. She's like my cousin through marriage.
Technically, yes.
Okay?
Like, oh, my God.
You've ever had a cousin that you're like, oh, I can see why people think you're hot. You're my cousin, so I don't see it that way.
Oh, my God.
But, like, you know? If she wasn't your cousin, you would have been like, hey, what's going on? I'd like to get to know you better.
If you didn't know she was your cousin?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. We as the audience all knew she was an aunt. So we were all like, not a good idea. I hope you're not pregnant. Sorry.
All right. No, it's okay. It's okay.
Maybe
no
your cousin listens to this podcast.
That's what I'm desperately, terribly terrified of.
What if all of your cousins listen and they think that I'm talking about all of them?
I know KC doesn't think so. KC, if you're listening, you know it ain't you, bro. All right. Angelique says, okay, after sleeping on it, this episode really pisses me off. Like,
you actually have a few hot cousins now that I'm going down the list.
Oh, my God.
Continue. Sorry. I'm like, that one's hot. That one's hot. That one's hot. I'm speaking about the girls.
Shame.
You're welcome.
Okay. After sleeping on it, this episode really pisses me off. Like, crazy lazy writing. I hope we get something big next week or this entire show will have just gone off the rails. It was so rushed. Cersei and Jaime get crushed into building, holding each other after all of that. Like, 7 years of our lives to just have them go out hugging. Also, I get that Dany went batshit, and maybe it was all building to that. But it just took her BFF getting murdered to set her off? Was that her last straw? I don't know. Also, we get like a little glimpse of Varys trying to poison her via that little girl, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden he's being BBQ'd? So rushed and such lazy, lazy
barbecued, writing. Blake, not BBQ'd.
Well, it says BBQ'd.
Is that how you say things? Like,
I'm on Burgundy.
Let's go out and get some BBQ.
Yes.
That's what you say to me?
Some people have said BBQ.
You do not.
I don't often, but I'm reading it. Go F yourself, no, San Diego.
I just love that you like finally fell victim to my issue of reading things word for word.
Burgundy will read what you put on the prompter. I've had a discussion. I'm not sure if you've conversed with people about Game of Thrones, my darling.
I talk with you every day about it.
No, other than me, you hoop.
Oh.
Other than me. And I had like a big conversation today with a coworker of mine. And he was upset with the show. And
he
was saying, oh, Danny couldn't have done that. Just because Jon Snow shut her down, blah, 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 blah. And I said, no, it's not about Jon Snow. It's not about Missandei. Mm-hmm. It's not that one singular thing. It's everything. It's everybody.
Oh, yeah.
It's everything that's happened to her. It's all come to a head.
I mean, think about it. When we first met Daenerys, she was being sold into wifedom, into marriage as a young girl, and then was raped by her brother. Her brother sold her.
Right, exactly.
She's got a little baggage, guys, okay?
Yep.
Girlfriend's got baggage. Like, if you were to, like, if Jon Snow was your best friend, if you were Sam, and he was like, hey, I want you to meet my girlfriend. She's really cool. And then she began talking. She's like, yeah, you know, my brother, he kind of sucks. I'm an orphan, and he, like, sold me to this really, like, hot guy, but it wasn't hot because he raped me. And, like, I had to eat a horse heart and stuff, and all these people, like, tried to kill me many times. And then people stole my babies. And some people have killed my babies. One of my babies turned into an ice dragon. Like, you'd be like, whoa.
Wait,
man.
What?
Listen.
Here's a dime bag.
I don't even know what that means. Wait.
You're such a dork.
Nerd!
It's a bag of weed.
Why do they call it a dime bag?
Because you get it's like 10 grams.
Okay.
So it's a dime bag.
I would not give that to Daenerys.
What would you give her? Would you tell her to go to Rafa Yoga and have an urban sweat?
I think she needs to go have some flotation therapy. She needs to go in a little bit of water and cool off.
Oh, man.
I wouldn't give her anything that she needs to set fire to.
She just needs a dime bag. She needs to sit down, watch The Big Lebowski, and just... This aggression will not stand, man.
I'm just picturing.
I'm picturing Tyrion going, am I wrong? Am I wrong?
Emily Clinton. What do you think?
Oh, man, sorry. Emily Clinton. Although unsatisfying, Cersei's death not only fulfilled the prophecy, dying with her brother's hands around her throat. Oh, by the way, hold on. Quick timeout. I was thinking about Dany, too. Now that this is happening,
yeah.
she's sitting there looking at the Red Keep. Yeah. And I think the thing that's going through her mind is, it's you people who did this to me.
Yes, completely.
It's you people who rebelled against my family. That is my family's castle.
That's mine.
This is my family's city. And you're all just living in it.
It's like the song from Pocahontas, Mine. No?
I've never listened to it.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Hold on a second.
No, I've never listened to it. Okay, you know what? If I just keep talking, I'll bring it up.
It's another classic from the failed Disney film Pocahontas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's about how the settlers are very greedy and, you know, this okay, is basically how I feel.
The
like
world, doing. Gold, mountains of it.
It takes
why,
until the chorus.
For years, they've been ravaging the new world.
Ravaging,
most
ooh,
precious resources.
Nice.
But now.
Oh, here we go. Hear that little,
it's our
little
turn.
Flute?
The gold of Cortez.
It's going to take a little
jewels
bit.
The of Pizarro. With all your God in
here we go, here we go.
Boys,
dig up Virginia, boys. Mine.
Boys.
Mine every mountain.
So he's talking about mining, but then eventually it's about like how it's all mine. And so I feel
you cover that lovely pebbles that sparkle and shine.
Here we go. Here we go.
And it's mine.
Oh.
Mine.
Get it? He twisted the mine like the verb to the adjective.
Oh, hey.
Oh, how I love it. Hey, nanny, nanny, ho, honey, nanny. There you go.
Right,
so anyway,
right.
That's the song that I was thinking about where Daenerys was like, it's mine.
Such a
mine.
Dork. Such a dork. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. I love that I like pick apart ideas from like some of the not so great Disney movies. But those of you who are like deep Disney peeps, you know what I'm talking about. Mine.
So, right. But this is the thing.
Mine.
Danny's looking at it like,
mine.
This
mine.
Is my world.
Yes.
And you're all just living in it.
Exactly. Like, seriously, looking at the Red Keep, like, not only is that mine, 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 or whatever the interval is, she's looking at it saying, that's mine. I was born there. I was born there. That is literally my home.
Mm-hmm.
And then these people just showed up, took it from me, and then all these freaking little people running the streets, they were cool with it. They didn't come find me. They didn't stand up. They weren't like all these people going to the state house, you know, dressed up and doing things and fighting for me with signs saying, bring back Daenerys. They've just been chilling, man. They forgot that is mine,
mine,
mine.
And I'm going to make them remember.
They won't remember anything, honey. They're dead.
Well, I'm going to show the world what happens to you when you forget. And like, when you think about it, too, when Aemon, Master Aemon says, it's a terrible thing. Like, a Targaryen in the
alone.
World alone is a terrible thing. Oh, you start putting all that together and thinking about mm-hmm. it. It's the only way the show could go.
I mean, seriously, like I was listening to one of her other quotes where it was like, I'm not going to fix the wheel.
I'm going to break it. Exactly.
Daenerys from day one has been like, blood, fire, kill everybody. I don't even care. I'm just going to kill everything. I'm just going to break everything.
And a lot of people have said like, oh, she's evil and she's mad because she killed, like we said last episode, she killed the witch that, you know, quote unquote, saved Khal Drogo and all this.
No.
She's not mad because of all those people. She had a legitimate reason to do that. Whether or not you agree with what happened to the Tarleys, she had a legitimate reason to do it. It wasn't the best move.
You know, not the one I would have chosen.
She's not mad because of that. She's mad because after all of this stuff happened, after everything went down, she then made the evil choice. That's how she's mad. So, okay. All right, Emily Clinton. Although unsatisfying, Cersei's death not only fulfilled the prophecy, dying with her brother's hands around her throat, but also seems to be a clear reference to the reigns of Castamere come full circle. Mm. Tarbeck Hall was brought down on the heads of Ellen and her family, and then burned by Tywin. And then the remaining reigns were sealed underground at Castamere and drowned. I wanted her to die a satisfying death as much as the next fan, for sure. But I can see what the writers were going for. You can hear the song and all the scenes building up to their death as well. And I feel like this doesn't bode well for Tyrion.
Yeah, I'm nervous for Tyrion.
I love that connection there with the Reigns of Castamere.
Oh, so good.
That's good.
Maureen Edwards says, "Holy Thrones! First full five dragons this season for me. The good, the moment Jon realized the city's surrender has not been accepted, and Varys' worst fears about Daenerys are officially confirmed. I also like the symbolicism between Cersei." Oh, symbolism. Wow. I just made up a really cool
symbolicism.
Word.
Symbolicism.
What does that mean?
I have no
that's
idea.
That's like we're going to take your symbolism, and we're just going to like...
Sicism it.
Like, make it even more. Like, it's even more symbolic. I also like the symbolism.
Super meaning behind
yeah.
it.
behind Cersei bringing the world down around everything that matters to her. Ooh, yeah. The bad... Nothing really. Hated losing Varys, one of my favorite characters. Agree with you there, Maureen. But he completed his story. Also watching the mountain squeeze the hound's eyeball sockets had me squirming and making weird noises, but I think that was the idea. And Maureen's great was everything to do with the hound. Loved his final scene with Arya. He was ultimately able to protect her with even more than just his body. The mountain scared me enough that I thought he might win Clegane several times, but wow! That tackle and the subsequent fall together into the flames, absolutely perfect. What perfect vengeance.
This one comes from, this is an email from Stephanie. She says, "Hi, Mary and Blake.
Hello.
I told you on Twitter I was formulating my rebuttal to your thoughts on the bells,
ooh.
But would listen first before
okay.
I would argue.
Ooh.
First, I completely agree with you about the production value, the cinematography, the music. This episode was incredible in that way. There were many moments where I looked at my husband and said, holy crap, that shot was amazing. I was literally cheering the moment Danny torched all the ramparts and destroyed the Golden Company.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely agree that Jaime and the Euron Greyjoy fight was stupid. All that to say, I have a really big issue with this episode and last, and I think it has more to do with plot and character development, specifically with what they're doing to the women. Listen, I'm not telling them how to write the show, and I certainly don't need to go back and discuss the long, sordid history of Game of Thrones has with the treatment of women. That has been well documented. But I think the primary reason many of us gals put up with it was because the most powerful characters were also women.
Who run the world?
Girls. Cersei, Dany, Arya, Sansa, Missandei, Brienne, all of these women have been absolute badasses with deep, nuanced character arcs.
Preach.
They've all had terrible things happen to them, and most, if not all of them, at one point or another, have also done terrible things to others. But at the end of the day, good or bad, they were all strong. But now, in the last two episodes especially, we've seen every single one of them either brushed aside or reduced to stereotypes. For example, what is Arya's purpose now? Last week, although she killed the Night King, the show opened up focusing on how Dany was jealous while all the men celebrated. Arya killed the effing Night King, and basically everyone just shrugged their shoulders and poured another drink. Hold on, time out. I strongly disagree. I really strongly disagree with this. They mentioned calling her out in the beginning of the episode. They talked about how she's a freaking badass, mm-hmm. but she just wasn't there. She wasn't there because she was doing her own thing.
She was practicing archery. She was practicing killing other people.
So I'm sorry. Stephanie. That one's out. Then this week, Arya abandoned her plan to kill Cersei and instead spent the entirety of the episode running around being almost killed. She couldn't even save that little girl and her mother. It was great point of view for the Watchers, but is that all she gets to do now? Run? No. Again, I strongly disagree. What she did is choose life. She chose to put the list down. The list did not make her strong.
Not today.
The list made her weak. The list made her one track. This, not today,
mm-hmm.
makes her a better character. Meanwhile, we last saw Brienne crying over a man, and Sansa told the Hound that she was strong because of what happened to her. Yikes! And poor Missandei was re-enslaved and beheaded. Why? To upset Dany? They literally killed the only woman of color as a means to affect another character's arc. Double yikes. That I kind of understand that is more of a plot reaction type thing with Missandei. I get it. With Sansa, she didn't say that made her stronger. She said that she's not a little bird anymore. She's not the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And Brienne crying over a man,
ugh.
I don't think that's wrong. I don't think that makes her weak.
I would be crying.
I think anybody who loved Jaime the way that Brienne loved him would be crying too. There's
I think
not,
you cried, Blake.
I cry terribly. And that doesn't make me weak. That just makes me love that person. It makes me love that character. I cried terribly when Jaime was talking to Tyrion. Mm-hmm. Because that I have an emotional attachment to Jaime. So that doesn't make her a bad character. It doesn't upset her arc. It just makes her a more full character.
In your opinion. You have to be careful with your opinion.
Finally, this week we watched the fall of the two strongest women, but both falls seem to be out of character. First, they took the mighty, conniving Cersei, who, for 8 seasons, every single action had been made to protect her children and power, and while her city and palace were under siege, she did nothing but stand in a window and cry, and then whimper in a basement, begging not to die, and then die when they literally dropped a house on her head, as if they couldn't come up with a new way to kill a wicked witch.
Ooh.
It worked for Dorothy Gale, after all. And Dany, she just lost her damn mind. Please understand, I'm fine with Dany going crazy. They've been alluding to the possibility of her doing it for 8 seasons, but the suddenness of it was a little jarring. The bells were ringing, the people were surrendering, and Dany was sitting there sobbing. For 8 seasons, she has struggled so mightily to keep it together, and finally she could breathe a sigh of relief. She wasn't going to have to do it. She wasn't going to have to succumb to the madness. And then, all of a sudden, she, the breaker of chains, decided to incinerate all the innocent, including thousands of women and children. Why? It was as if a room full of male writers just shrugged and said, meh, bitches be crazy. And this is why it's so frustrating for me. Because for 8 seasons, we've tolerated all the brothel scenes, the rapes, mm-hmm. the beheadings, prostitutes being used for target practice, all of it. Because at the end of the day, we still had those strong, powerful women. Mm-hmm. And now it just feels like the rug has been yanked out from under us. And we've all been trolled. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping they're going to fix this. But right now, it just feels gross. Well, we've already talked about Dany, so I don't want to go there.
Well, you know, I do think that it's a big thing. Like, this is another big topic that I'm seeing a lot online, especially from women, is that this show made huge, huge leaps in being like a strong feminist show. And now, I don't know. It's different. It's different.
The thing with Cersei is that I'll say I understand why some people are upset about it. I understand that some people wanted her to die a horrible, fiery death.
I did.
And I did too. And when it all happened, I was kind of like, wait, what? But I think thematically it works. And I like the idea of Cersei being robbed of all of her bravado. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of Cersei being robbed of everything that she held dear and that facade that she put up. Of being the queen and
having it together.
Having it all together, being ripped from her. Mm-hmm. That, to me, makes sense for someone who is terrible. Everything that you leaned on is just gone now, and you're just stripped down to being nothing but the worst part of yourself, which is, for her, a helpless little girl. That, to me, makes sense for Cersei. I like that.
I'm just so excited to see what happens this week. I really am. Like, because this is the thing, is we're like upset about things, or we're questioning things, or we're creating other storylines, and we know nothing Jon Snow's. We're all Jon Snow right now, guys. We know nothing. And I feel like this is why I'm really hopeful, and why it's hard for me to necessarily be like, ah, this was wrong. I think not in hindsight, after we watch the finale, we're able to digest everything and really go through things. I mean, the conversation is just going to continue to go on.
Yes.
You know, because this story is not yet over. I also cannot wait for George to flip and finish his books.
Just to see how he writes it.
How he does it.
And like, and here's the thing too. The Double D's and George talked about the ending. Like, they talked about how they want to end this story.
So
it's going to be relatively similar, you would imagine.
Yeah. We can assume certain things, meaning Daenerys will go crazy. Because once again, that's been laid out for us, not only through the show, but repeatedly in the books as well.
Yes. All right. You ready to do some voicemails?
Yes.
All right. Let's do it.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Janine from Pennsylvania.
Hello.
Hi, Janine.
Well, that episode was something. They've got a lot to clean up for next episode, but Dany threw probably the worst Mother's Day barbecue. Well, the Hound and the Mountain had their showdown, like I thought they would, and both died like I thought they would. And Jamie and Cersei came into the world together and left the world together like I thought they would. At least Cersei's eye mascara was banging. Maybe she was using that 4D mascara like Mary Stone. Well, I feel like we were all tearing in this episode. I was like, don't do it. Don't do it. Crap. She did it. Anyway, I don't like what they did with Arya's character. I feel like she was kind of weak, running away almost. But I think she has a new name on her kill list, and I think that name is Daenerys.
Agreed.
But I don't think she'll be the one to kill her. What would be really neat, though, is if Drogon, the dragon, ended up picking Jon Snow, he switched sides and gave Jon the higher claim to the throne. But I still think Daenerys is going to have to die after her Mad Queen situation. All right, we'll see. We'll see. Thanks, guys. See ya.
You know, I could see the time when Janine called us, and it was right after the episode, and you could just tell that, like, she's just drained.
She's
you just hear it in her
what
voice.
What just happened?
You're like,
what just happened?
That's how I felt. Remember that?
We were
just like, wow, man, I can't believe that just happened.
Hey, Mary and Blake, what we're seeing here is a theme on abuse of power and consequences of action. And what I mean by there is the showrunners, D&D, D.B. Weiss, David Benioff, refusing to deviate from a poorly thought out plan and wanting to move on to their next projects, what they're entitled to do. But they did a huge disservice to the fandom and people who really care about this series and the characters themselves to not have the season be 13 episodes and really get us there to where they ended up forcing Dany to go. Yes, there was evidence of Dany choosing violence as a punishment for people who were assholes like slavers and her brother, but she never would kill innocent people. We needed more of that, of her disdain for Westeros to develop, to really make this pan out, because as it stands, it's just, it came out of nowhere. And that's why people are responding this way all over Twitter and Reddit and everywhere. So, I mean, I know they're probably going to make Arya or Jon kill her now, but it's going to feel flat because I don't really think Jon loves her, you know?
Well, it looks like she got kind of horrible. Well, I think, hold on, let's do the next one.
Like I said, got cut off. Nothing really matters now. There's no consequence because the Night King's already been defeated. I'm all out of cares, you know? And I think a lot of people feel that way. On top of the episode having some amazing cinematography, some amazing action moments, amazing soundtrack, amazing acting, holy shit. It also had a lot of really cringeworthy moments. Euron, okay, he shows up in the Jack Sparrow Pirates Bay to fight Jaime. Loved Qyburn getting yeeted to the wall. And then Cersei going, let me just scooch on by you. so that was pretty great. And of course, Clegane Bowl with the ching of the swords. And, you know, it had some laughable moments, but I honestly felt like I was watching a Michael Bay movie with better cinematography. Oh, well. Almost done. Thanks for this podcast, y'all.
Well, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
You know, the funny thing is that Michael Bay movies usually have very good cinematography. just throwing that out there. Just want to say that.
Hello from the Highlands of Scotland. It's Kirsten Lane.
Hey, Kirsten.
Hey, girl.
My take on the episode. The good. KFV. It's Kentucky Fried Varys. I was genuinely sad to lose Varys, but his indiscretions caused his eventual demise. What was good about it was the interaction with Tyrion. The dialogue between them was very moving, and the subtle touch from Tyrion conveyed a multitude of emotions, yet still managed to bookmark their shared chapter of lives together. The bad. The lucky Lannister, Jaime. The Game of Thrones showrunners must think our heads button up the back. Not only was Jaime run through with a sword twice in two different directions, becoming a walking sieve, he managed to only shed as much blood as the average nosebleed. Then miraculously, he finds Cersei. So when she says, "You're hurt," to him, I was convinced he was going to say, "'Tis but a mere scratch," like the Black Knight from Monty Python. Thankfully, he ran out of luck when trying to find a safe emergency exit. The Great. He's a crater-faced big galoot, but the Hound's vengeance lesson to Arya was a belter. Then we saw Arya's switch to using Sandor softened the parting moment between them. Oh, and I loved the white horse that arrived for Arya. Perhaps it was Bran being useful during that screensaver time after all.
Screensaver time.
Yes.
Screensaver.
Yes.
Oh, she ain't the Hall of Fame for nothing.
Amen.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Emily from New Orleans,
hey,
longtime listener of Outlander Cast and now the North Remembers, but first-time caller.
All right.
I just wanted to call because, honestly, I was pretty disappointed with this episode, which is shocking to me considering how much I've loved where the season has gone so far. But it really came down to a couple of things for me personally. You mentioned in the last podcast episode that some people felt that characters were going against their arc, and I sort of agree with that, but mainly for me, it came down to Arya. I agree with the fact that she had to go. I was fine with that, but really, I was disappointed in how easy the decision seemed to be for her, considering this has been her life's mission, was to kill Cersei. Now, granted, the Red Keep and everything was falling all around her, so that might have expedited her decision a bit. But to me, it just felt too easy and not really conflicted in her. But honestly, the main thing for me was that we spent so much time on Dany killing all of the innocents with their dragon fire. It just was a little much for me and made me sick, which is probably what they want you to feel. But I just felt like we got the point a lot sooner than what was displayed. Any thoughts on that? Personally, am I alone? Let me know. Thanks.
I wouldn't say that you're alone. I mean, I don't agree, but I understand where you're coming from.
I definitely don't think you're alone. I think there are a lot of people who feel the way you feel.
Right. Could we have spent a little less time killing innocents and getting more of a reaction from Dany or more decision making?
Do we need the Cersei haircut lady?
Yeah. Do we need a shame cut lady?
Do we need the little girl with the little like horse?
No, we don't need that.
No.
You know, we don't. Do we need Arya running around getting almost killed three or four times?
I kind of loved it.
I mean, I liked it, but did we need it? No, we didn't need it three or four times. We could have used it maybe twice. So, like, yes, I think there are things that we probably could have cut out in order to get more actionable stuff from mm-hmm. our main characters. Yes, I think that's fair to say.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Lynn from New York.
Hi, Lynn.
Just like Mary, I'm not sure how I feel about this one. At first viewing, I was blown away. But my primary thought throughout the back half of the episode was, so help me, if Cersei makes it out of here, but Arya doesn't, I am out.
Amen.
I don't care if there's only one episode left. I am done. I couldn't agree more with your take on the show. Between Dany's madness, Cersei's death, Jaime and Cersei ending up together at the end, Clegane Bowl, Arya's escape, all of it. So I'm just going to move right on to my three-eyed raven predictions.
Okay, hold on.
Did Bran warg his way into that horse in order to save Arya?
Yeah.
Maybe. But here's my big one. Arya kills Dany. After all, she took out the King of Ice. Now it's time for her to take out the Queen of Fire.
Oh!
One more episode, and I'm super excited to see how it all turns out.
Dang.
See you then.
Dang! Dang! What?
It makes me want to shout.
Me!
Hadn't even thought of it like that,
here
baby.
We're all being like, she'll kill Dany, she'll kill Dany. What? You did
King
it.
King of Ice and Queen of Lynn. Woof!
Well done.
That gets you in consideration for the Mary and Blake Hall of Fame right there.
Mm-hmm.
That call alone.
Mm-hmm.
That's a...
Well done.
Well done, my friend.
Hello, Mary and Blake. This is Keisha calling from Odenton, Maryland.
Hi, Keisha.
In regards to episode 5, season 8. The verdict's still out. I was a little taken aback on all of the deaths. I mean, a lot of innocent people died. And Tyrion, you know, that was his main concern. And yes, it was sad between him and his brother. Yes, it was sad when basically Jon rebuffed Dany. You know what I mean? Their family, for Christ's sake. And
yeah, they'd want to have sex, though.
It was sad watching Arya trying to get through.
Yes.
First trying to get to the Red Keep, yes. And then realizing that that's not going to happen. So maybe let's try to get out. And almost dying like 3 times. Best part ever, the Mountain and the Hound. Mm-hmm. Knew that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That was one hell of a battle. Can't wait till Sunday. Hopefully we get a neat bow on the end of it all. There's going to be tears. I know it. I can't wait. Thanks, Mary and Blake.
Thanks, Keisha.
Thank you.
You know, I do want to say one thing, which is the Clee Game Bowl was perfect. And for any, I don't know how anybody can have any issue with the Clee Game Bowl. I don't know. I don't know how you could do it. It was everything that it was built up to be. It was, in my eyes, perfect. It was perfect. I couldn't have drawn it up better.
So good.
All right. So good. That is it for the voicemails, my darling. Ready to close this bad boy out? You got anything else?
No.
You know what we got to do? Hold on. You know
what?
We're going to go full Joe Bluth on this one. You ready?
Okay.
Magic, Michael. No, okay. Illusions, Michaels, not tricks. Illusions.
Yes! Yes, the flutes! All I want is bananas. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Guys.
It's the final countdown, ladies and gentlemen.
Just picture a dragon, maybe a direwolf, poorly CGI'd, Bran going now. All sorts of things about to go down. What do you think will be the most outrageously crazy thing that probably won't happen? I want to hear it. Give me like the most insane theory.
A wolf eats Dany.
What?
A wolf eats Dany. A ghost comes back.
Arya's wolf is bigger. Nymeria is bigger than wolf. Well, than ghost.
I don't know.
Nymeria could just sail. That's the ending. As Daenerys is like, ha ha ha, and I've won the Game of Thrones. And Nymeria jumps out of the woods and eats her.
And just eats her. Oh, man. I can't think of anything else. Or Bran walks and kills Dany.
Bran's like, I've got to go now. I mean...
Oh, hold on, hold on.
Here we go, here we go.
It's the final countdown.
Yes. If this does not get you pumped up, I don't know what
this will. This is pump-up music right here.
Seriously.
Nothing like Europe. Oh, Europe is the best.
You know what I'm wondering? Is how, like, how John and Davos are feeling right now because they're like, man, do you want to go back home to Winterfell? It's like stinky there. There's all the dead, burnt bodies. But like, do you think Daenerys will be looking for us? Because she's on a flipping dragon. She could get there in an hour. It's like getting to DC. It's going to take you 8 hours by horse.
Yeah.
But it could take you 45 minutes by plane. She's going to beat you and get to Sansa. She knows. She knows that Sansa betrayed her and she's going to beat everyone home. This isn't even a fake thing, guys.
This is a real thing.
This is a real thing. She can fly.
Oh my God.
She can fly.
Hold on, hold on.
Oh, no. Sansa.
Maybe the final countdown for Sansa.
No, Bran's there. Bran better warg into the dragon or do something useful because it's the final countdown for Sansa
Maybe
Stark.
Maybe Bran wargs into the dragon because Dany is going to kill Sansa.
That's where she's going, man. She is so mad at Sansa and she can beat everybody because everybody's on horses.
Wow.
She's like, BRB, bitches.
You know she's not going to just stay in King's Landing. She's going to Winterfell to deal.
What do dragons eat? You? You asked me once what dragons eat. I'll show you. Boom.
Oh.
Not great.
This is good stuff.
Not great, Bob.
Not great,
Brandon
Bob.
Brandon Stark better do some magical stuff in this final countdown.
I'm liking it. This is good. This is good stuff.
Thank you.
This is good stuff. You know she's going to Winterfell.
And she's seriously, like when I drive to DC, it takes 8 hours. When I fly, 45 minutes. Maybe it's like from Rhode Island to Florida, you know, because it's like winter summer. Yep, okay, so Rhode Island to Florida, it's going to take 2 days to drive.
Easily.
Okay, so maybe on horse it takes you 3 days. I don't even know. By dragon? 6 hours.
At most.
She's like, now that that's done, I'm going to go back to Winterfell for dessert. Guys, Sansa better be hiding. Oh. Hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your Sansa.
Dany's coming.
I hope she went up north with Ghost.
You are so dumb.
We have way too many references. If people don't know us, they're like, what is wrong with these people?
I know. This is what happens when you're a nerd.
We're going to go, guys.
All right.
Holy smokes. That's where Dany's going. She's going back up north, man. She's got some unfinished business.
All the unfinished business.
Brandon Stark, don't let us down. You're our only hope, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
All right, guys. We got some final countdown in there for you.
Okay.
I can't believe this is it. This is the next episode is going to be the last Game of Thrones episode
ever.
There's
no more Three-Eyed Ravens, unless you count like the spin-off shows. Or unless you count the book. But for reals, in this series, no more Raven time. No more Three-Eyed Raven.
That's going to be it. This is going to be the last Sunday ever where you just put on Game of Thrones and like it's a new one.
You know what I'm pissed about?
What's that?
I ordered a shirt off of Facebook.
Of course you did.
Facebook was like, hi, do you want this shirt that's from Game of Thrones? And I was like, yes, I do. How did you read my brain, Facebook? Oh, I forgot. You like monitor every single thing I do and you could probably hear me talk about Game of Thrones all the time. Anyway, Mark Zuckerberg, mind your business. But yes, I would like that shirt from like some weird company that I've never heard of before.
That's great. And they just were give them our credit card number. Awesome. Like, great job, Mary.
Do you want it sent quickly? And I was like, sure I do. Sure I do, because I want it by the finale. So I ordered this shirt.
Did you get me a shirt?
Nope.
Come on.
I bought your shirts from Target, okay?
You wait.
Shame.
So you get it from a cool, weird internet company. I get it from Target.
Okay, well, at least yours is here, because that cool, weird internet company hasn't come in. And so I literally sent them emails saying, excuse me, I paid extra money for this to be expedited. And since I checked the shipping thing, it says it's still being made.
Yeah, you know what's being made? All of our money out of the bank account.
And then the email was bounced. So then I found them on Instagram and I said, excuse me, I bought this off of Facebook and I gave you extra money.
I can't believe you did. That's like some like weird Indian then, people that like just take your money. What?
And then I got an email saying your shirt has been shipped.
Oh, yeah, right. It's been shipped. All right. Yeah. Checks in the mail. Yeah, it's been shipped. Yeah.
I did it on PayPal, so I think we're okay.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you did that.
It's probably going to, like, fit my kid.
It's going to come back. Yeah, lady, you wanted it quick? Sure.
Here you go. Put it on Lumos, your cat.
It's probably some, like, random dude in Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get you a shirt.
I'll get you that.
I'll get you a shirt. It's going to be wicked good. He's got, like, a Sharpie just writing on a white T-shirt.
I'm going to be
so mad.
Yeah,
it's the mother of dragons.
I showed you the shirt.
It's going to be all misspelled.
You said it looked cool.
What was the shirt?
It said, not today, and the O is the Game of Thrones O, and Arya's dagger.
Yeah.
And
okay,
it's, like,
yeah.
A cool black shirt, white font, not today. You know what's not coming? Not today. When are you
not today.
When are you going to ship my shirt, guys? Not today. Not today. Darn it. Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg.
I can't believe Zuckerberg swindled you out of $20.
And the website company is called like T-Zilly.
Why?
I don't even know.
What?
I just saw not today, and it was like the day after
take my
Arya.
Take my money.
It was the day after Arya killed the Night King, and I was like, yeah, I'll pay extra shipping.
We've been waiting that long?
That's what I'm talking about.
Jesus.
That's why I said, when is my shirt coming? I paid extra money for fast shipping. Not today. Not today.
Oh, my God.
On that note, my name's Mary Larson.
Not great, Bob.
Guys, if any of you are t-shirt makers, does anyone want to make me a shirt? I just really wanted a cool shirt, guys. Because the Target ones don't fit. Target ones are not actually made for real life human beings.
Mine
my
fits
size.
Me good.
Yeah, because you're a man.
Yeah?
And I didn't want to buy a man's shirt. I wanted a girl's shirt.
Oh, okay.
A woman's shirt.
Right,
a lady's shirt. And you know what?
What?
It's not coming.
They ain't going to show up. I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you bought a shirt from one of those weird Facebook companies.
They knew me. They knew my heart and soul.
I can't believe you
did that.
And
they were like, oh, you think your team's
guys,
Stark?
When we're poor and we're on the street begging for someone to pay our mortgage, please just send us a couple of cents because Mary just pissed away all of our money.
So sorry. We should probably go check our bank accounts. Like right now.
Oh my God.
The shirts that it was still being made.
And then it's, we shipped it. Shut up, lady.
Literally the email was like, thanks for paying for the extra super fast shipping. Here, click here to check your tracking. It's still being made.
It's just some dude.
It's some like 15-year-old in his mom's basement trying to figure out how to like paint.
Hey, some lady bought a shirt off of us.
Mom, can you take me to Michael's? I need to go buy some t-shirt puffy paint.
Hey, Jimmy, we duped some lady.
How do you make the Game of Thrones owl? You know what? If it doesn't arrive, I'm going to puffy paint my own shirt. I'm going to make that shirt with puffy paint for the finale live show. There we go, guys. Maybe I should just do that. Maybe I'll make you one, Blake. I'll go to Michael's. I'll get all the puffy paint.
Don't want it.
It's going to be so cute.
I'm going to wear my House Lannister shirt.
Okay, guys. On that note, we're going to go and check our bank accounts. Oh, sorry. My name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake.
And the North remembers.
They don't remember to not buy shirts off of Facebook. Can't believe you did that.
Listen.